got a weird one for you this week.
That's right. You want to talk comedy?
You want to talk Toronto?
You want to talk about other things?
Heckling and not knowing what color hair I have.
Listen, if you love pop culture, the Olympics, and polyamorous relationships, today's episode is all about those things.
And if you've ever considered fucking someone that looks like your brother, we're going to get to the bottom of what's wrong with you.
Comedian Irene Tu is on the program today. Get ready.
And stay ready. Goodbye.
M.
Oh.
M.
Mom.
When your first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with us.
Sloppy seconds.
Oh, diva. Our number is 213-536-9180.
Our email is sloppysecondspod@gmail.com. Now on with the show. Hi, you slops, you stupid little fucks, you not so fucks, you dirty little fucks. Welcome to Sloppy Seconds with Big Dipper and Meepaw. That's Big Dipper. I'm winded because I ate KBBQ last night, and I still do not feel like I've digested.
You're winded from last night.
From last night. Thoughts?
You know how sometimes...
I'm so upset about a feather.
You know how sometimes they're like, what would it feel like to be in my shoes?
Yeah.
I want to know just what it feels like to be in your body.
Probably great for most people.
Painful?
I'm never. Well, the pancreas does hurt sometimes, but we got her under control again. And I'm very flexible. I feel like that would be really shocking to you.
You're really flexible.
Like when I went to physical therapy, they were always like, God, we can't even stretch you out. Because I was too flexible. It wasn't stretching. It was just like they were pushing my muscles. And to be quite honest, I got very high the other night and almost did a complete split while eating a mozzarella stick. Could you?
Smart for you. Good for you. Are you ready to get into our guest
today?
Yeah,
it's time.
A comedian, writer, actor, and social media star. That's right, I said it. It's Irene Tu!
Oh,
hello.
Hello.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
It was quite the journey to get Irene in.
Oh, you don't even know.
A lot of emailing, rescheduling.
Rescheduling because I was deathly ill after my trip to New York. Yes.
How are you?
I'm good.
Do you consider yourself a social media star?
No, that was the funniest thing that you said for the intro, where I'm like, I don't think that that's true at all.
How many followers do you have? 250,000?
No, less than that.
Those are big. You put up big numbers.
It's
okay.
Your little clips get huge likes.
Those little clips you put up.
Well, no, I mean that they're short, not that they're like unimportant. God.
No, but it really...
I mean, I think they're also unimportant in the grand scheme of things.
You got a lot of followers, diva.
I think that there are a lot of people out there who claim to be influencers, who claim to do social media as their full-time job, who have significantly less followers than you.
Yeah, when are you going to give into capitalism and start doing ads?
I want to see a brand deal.
Yeah, I want to see you...
Look, I would love to do a brand deal. What I don't know how you get about doing one of those. I've never been approached.
What?
Really? Really?
Yeah.
I guess,
not by like a legit brand deal, just like one of those that are like a scam.
Yes. They're like, we saw your account, blank, blank, blank.
Yeah. It's all spelled wrong.
Yes.
Right. And, like,
and then they like send you just your own bio.
The one that I've gotten recently is like, we are so impressed by your beautiful photography. Like over and over and over again.
Yeah. And you're like, okay. You're
like, I'm like, I didn't take any of those
pictures. I didn't take any of those pictures, but I am beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah. Also, how did you think I took the photos? I'm in them.
Yeah. Sounds like a self-timer.
Yeah. You just got back from what, Toronto?
Yes, I just got from Toronto yesterday.
Hot take.
Damn.
How do you feel about Toronto? Seemed like you had a lot of hot takes on the internet.
Oh, well, I don't think they're hot takes. I just think they're correct. And then people take it personally in the wrong way.
Okay.
I didn't love Toronto as a city.
Yeah.
I think it's like a bad Chicago.
I've heard that.
See? Not a hot take. Just a regular take.
And the usual consensus about Canada, everyone says that they think that everyone there is super nice.
They actually were nice, in my opinion. It's just like the city was cold. I don't think it's like architecturally that beautiful. I mean, it kind of looks like Chicago, but like worse.
Yeah. But there's some really old buildings there, which are cool. Like the university and like some of the churches.
There's some old buildings that are cool.
Okay. Also, I will say I didn't get to see that much of that because the whole city is like fully under construction.
Oh.
Wait, really?
They're doing a rebrand.
I don't know what's going on, but literally every street like has a crane.
That's
wild. I actually kind of feel that way about like Los Angeles right now. Like I feel like every street I'm driving down, it's all down to one lane.
Yeah, but I bet you that's probably the Olympics.
Wait, are the Olympics coming here?
Yeah, in 2028.
They're building that giant stadium for it.
Can they stop?
They said, we're going to build a stadium and we're going to leave all these people homeless.
Literally, there are so many empty buildings.
Tons of them, downtown specifically. When I used to live down there, I was always like, what goes on in these buildings? They're full. They're just fully there and there's nothing in them.
Yeah.
2028, the Olympics are coming here?
Yeah, so not this one's in Paris and then the next one's in L.A.
We should move by then.
That's so funny because I'm excited.
Really?
Because I finally get to go.
You're gonna go?
Yeah.
You like crowds?
I don't like crowds, but I love the Olympics.
Oh my
god. Okay, what is your sport of choice?
I'll watch pretty much anything, but I think swimming is super fun.
Okay.
Because we're always good at that. The diving is good.
Sure.
I don't understand how it works. Like, I don't get how they score it.
Yeah.
Well, probably favoritism. The diving. And, you know, the amount of splash.
I know it's, like, the amount of splash, but then they're also, like, this one gets awarded more points because it's more difficult. But I'm like, how do you even tell?
Yeah.
Yeah, how can you pick difficulty?
Yeah.
Is it the amount of rotation?
I don't know. Or, like, the positioning. Like, you know, sometimes they do a pike, but sometimes they don't, and then you get more points.
Moving.
I don't get it.
How do you
That's what I'm saying. I don't get it.
The amount is more difficult if they start in a handstand.
Probably. But, like, see, that's what I'm saying. I don't understand that. And that's that's kind of like gymnastics, too, you know, when they do the vaults. You're like, I'm like, I don't know. I get it when they stick the landing or not, but the rest of it, I'm like, I have no idea if that was good or not.
I would go for gymnastics. I love watching gymnastics. I'm faggy like that. What would you watch?
I don't know. I guess I do I do prefer those sports, those, like, individual over team sports, because team sports, you have to be there for the endurance of it. Like, you have to watch the entire match.
Yeah.
There's, like, strategy, all the different players, whereas, like, an individual, you're like, let me watch you do the parallel bars.
Yeah.
And then we're done.
Yes.
Yes.
So I like that.
Or I like the track and field, too, because you can, like, that one is, like, obviously who won, because...
it's racing.
It's whoever crossed the finish line first won.
Whoever threw the thing the furthest wins.
Right. Yeah. So I'm like, I feel like a genius when I know who won that.
Shot put is such a wild thing, too.
Oh, yeah. You're just, like, chucking this ball.
And javelin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
How
fun.
Did they come up with these?
I don't know.
Well, they've been around for centuries.
Yeah,
I guess.
That was like back in the day when you're like, I have a rock.
Since when did the Olympics start? In Olympia?
In Greece? Rome?
You know what I heard?
Coliseum.
You know what I heard?
Yeah, I think that sounds correct.
The Vatican. Sure.
You know what I heard about the word marathon that I didn't know?
What?
It was because Marathon is a city, and it took that long to run there, 26.2 miles.
Run there from where?
Somewhere else in Greece.
Yeah.
Oh, somewhere else. All right. Okay, I'm the dumb one. You don't even know the rest of the fucking story.
Probably Athens, okay?
Okay.
Welcome to misinformation.
Yeah.
Something I heard on the internet.
The thing I read.
Was that the person ran to the city of Marathon and then dropped dead, and then a bunch of other people decided they were going to do that and not drop dead, and that's how a marathon was born, and that's why it is
that's crazy.
That's insane.
Do you think that's a real fact?
I actually feel like I've heard that before. So I do think that's a real fact, but I also think that's psychotic that someone ran there, died, and then other people were like, this is a good idea.
This is for me.
I bet I can make it.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. I bet you'll be, by 2028, you'll be commentating at these Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, again, I would love to. Look, give me a brand deal. Give me something to do at the Olympics.
Nike, the correspondent at the Olympic Village interviewing people about...
spreading my misinformation.
Have you ever run a marathon?
Asking the divers, why is that harder?
Yeah. Actually, that would be fun, right? Because a lot of us watch it.
Why do you have to shower before you jump into a giant pool of water?
I
want to
know.
That's actually a really good question. Wait, I have a logistics question for you. Because you're going to have to get to the stadium.
That's why they're making
all the
trains.
Well, there's going to be multiple stadiums. Yeah, and I think they're trying to build a train. Who knows? We might finally get this train to and from the airport. I'm hoping.
Wouldn't that be incredible?
I would lose my mind.
It probably would take 3 hours to ride it there.
It takes also, 3 hours to drive there.
Yeah, that's true.
I also carry so much luggage, I don't know if I want to be on the train. It's like when I get to New York, I'm like, just call a car. I have like two giant bags.
I always take the train in New York. I mean, it's a mistake, but I always do it.
I just don't want to carry the bags up and down stairs in the subway station.
Well, you took public transit all over Toronto too, right?
I did. And sometimes I take the bus here.
Yeah.
I've taken the bus here. It's not that bad. Yeah. How is the infrastructure in Toronto compared to ours? Ours is shit.
Speaking of misinformation.
I mean.
I just know because I send my assistant out and he's always running around on the train. And I was like, girl, we got to get you a car.
Yeah. Well, in LA, I think it's way too hard. There's just not enough trains that go like east-west. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you just can't get to places in a good amount of time. In Toronto, I was taking the train because it was convenient where I was going. But there was construction. So I had to take the train, and then I had to get off the train and take the bus to the other stop.
Ooh.
You know when they do that?
Yes.
Bullshit? Yeah.
They always do that, like, right when you don't want them to.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they, like, don't warn you, and you get off, and you're like, why can't I go? And they're like, I mean, we got to fix a light or some dumb thing.
So take those stairs up and then get on a bus.
And they're like, but we won't charge you. And I'm like, that's not.
You've already charged me.
That doesn't change it.
I already paid.
I've already paid.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I would like money back.
Yeah, exactly. So you are on the road all the time for comedy.
Yes.
When you first started doing comedy, was this a goal? Were you like, maybe I'll get one day to be traveling all the time?
I don't think I knew what you even did as a comedian when I started. Like, I didn't think, like, oh, I get to tour and do the road. Like, that wasn't really a thought that I had. Because I didn't know that much about comedy.
Hmm.
Like, I kind of stumbled into it. Like, someone said it was funny. I loved Ellen. And then I, like, read like on Wikipedia that she started by doing stand-up, and I was like, okay, I'll do stand-up. So then then I like started doing stand-up basically, and I like took a couple classes, and I would just go around, and there were open mics, you know. I would ask other people what you do, and just do like open mics and shows, and I was like, okay, like there was no concept in my head that I was like, oh, and then I go tour, and then I do this thing. I just didn't know
what
people did. That is so interesting.
What'd you love about Ellen?
Well, I started by doing like because she does kind of like observational comedy. So I started by trying to do that. And she was very likable and, you know, she dressed cool. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do that. And then I pivoted from that because I don't really like doing observational comedy. It's not my thing.
So. What's the deal
with
drag wigs?
Ellen's back.
She is back.
She's back and she's around. I heard she's doing great.
Yeah, I haven't seen the new stuff yet, so I want
to
see it.
I know. Part of me wants to start going to those comedy clubs where people, like celebrities do drop-ins just in hopes of finding her.
And then what, calling TMZ?
just to hear it. You're just a narc. See it.
I mean, she's at Largo a bunch.
Yeah, okay.
So.
Just buy a bunch of tickets to Largo shows?
Yeah, I mean,
those are small seats, and I'm a large, fat bitch. Yeah, the seats are real
challenging at Largo.
They're on the website. It's like, it says, like, Ellen. Like, she's going to be... Like, it's... Like, you could buy tickets to see Ellen at Largo.
What the fuck are
DeGeneres?
It's advertised as see
it's
me.
It's an Ellen show. Yeah. Oh, okay. I didn't realize she was doing that already. Okay.
It was quick, but she was like, she dropped in, and then I guess she's just like, all right, I'm back. She's
like, come I see know me. She'll sell out.
I will have residency. Do you remember when Nicki Minaj put out that song, and she like name checked Ellen at the top?
What song?
She was like, the generous queen. Ellen. You remember this?
Is that Swish Swish? Look it up. Get on your little typing machine.
I will. It's just so funny because...
Clickety clack clack.
She said, the generous queen, but the generous sounds like degenerous. Come on.
You really thought you ate.
Did you start in San Francisco?
Oh, okay. Didn't find the song. Where did you start?
It's called
comedy?
No Frauds.
Okay. Where'd you start?
Are you
going
to play that clip of that?
Yeah.
Everyone listening knows what I'm talking about.
Okay, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
And they're not here.
I'll find it. Okay. She says.
Glad you came.
I would have helped you out that pit you fell in. I am the generous queen. Ask Miss Ellen.
Oh, and her and Ellen are tight. Was like on the Ellen show all the time. But you, okay, I just want to get this clear. So you saw Ellen doing stand-up, and you were like, I want to do stand-up? Or you were I want to have a TV show where I yell at everyone on set?
No, again, I had no concept of anything. I just would watch Ellen's talk show. And she does, like, you know, 5 minutes of stand-up, basically. And then she does the rest of her show. And I was like, oh, I think she's very funny. People would tell me I'm funny sometimes. And I'm like, for some reason in my brain, I'm like, well, let's just do what she does. And she started by doing stand-up. So then I started doing stand-up. But I never was like, I'm going to have a talk show. But I do love, like, sitcoms. So then at some point I was like, well, I would love to have a sitcom at some point when I, like, was, like, doing comedy for real. But I don't think I ever was like, this is my goal. I'm going to tour. I'm going to do this, that. I didn't know what I was doing, you know? Yeah. There was no plan.
That's so interesting, because I feel like for me, when I started drag, my goal was like, I want to travel. I want drag to be the reason I like bop around and do stuff.
Mm. Yeah. Some would say if I had my goals lined up, I would be doing better by now.
Oh. Who is that?
Now, who would say that?
A parental figure?
Do you follow those like Instagram accounts that are like, they like... tell you to get your life together, basically?
Oh, yeah, the inspirational one. They keep popping up for me.
Oh, I love it. I'm always like, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I do need to do more.
Yeah. What? I need an Instagram account to just be like, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
You're doing great work.
I'm sure there are those.
You don't gotta be so hard on yourself.
I'm sure there's an account for you.
What scene in Chicago were you like involved in the comedy scene?
I don't think I was ever in a particular scene. Because also I started when I was like 19, so I couldn't a lot of the open mics or shows because they were at bars.
Right.
So I would just do whatever I could, and I was still in college at the time. So I would do stuff like by
bookstores.
Yeah, you know, yeah, like by the school or coffee shop, bookstore, whatever, and then whatever I could do. Yeah. Remember that show, The Cates? That was in a bookstore. There was a stand-up show. It was at some bookstore.
Oh, I think Candy Lawrence did something.
Sure, yeah. I don't remember who was really in charge of the show.
Yeah.
But
there were a lot of like old shows happening in Chicago for a period of time. Back when like Beth Selling was in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's when I was living in Chicago too. There was a lot of wild comedy that came out of there.
Yeah, I'd say Chicago probably has like one of the better comedy scenes and drag scenes. New York didn't really have a great comedy scene. It was like only for people that... No. It's very, very good and very funny, but it was hard to break into. Oh, and it wasn't one where there was like a ton of like open mics that were actually good. They were just like in the back of a restaurant and people weren't there to see the open mics.
They were just stumbling upon
Yeah, they were just like, oh, there's something going on back here. So...
Yeah, but when you started the sentence with New York doesn't have a lot of comedy. I was like...
No, it has a ton of comedy. I was able to go see a lot and pay for it a lot, but it wasn't something that was like... So I felt like going the improv route was like the easier way to start, and it just wasn't for me. Did you ever dip your little toes in the improv?
Yeah, I took some classes when I was in Chicago since it's such a big improv town.
Yeah.
But then over time, I was like, I don't think I'm an improv girly, you know?
Yeah. Is it too, like, too hokey? You need too much
No,
buy-in?
It's a lot of teamwork.
And you like to fly
solo.
It's a lot of coordinating schedules. Oh, it's a lot of different personalities. It's a lot of, I don't know. It's just a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people wanting to hang out and be best friends. And I'm like, no, I think we're trying to do something.
You know where you might find a lot of that energy as well? Olympics.
Yes.
Hang out and be best
friends. What I'm saying is...
They're technically a team, but they are playing for themselves.
Oh, I get it.
That's
okay,
what is that's good about the Olympics.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Oh, so fast. This episode is brought to you by Helix.
That's right. We love our Helix mattresses. I sleep on mine every night that I'm in my home. And when I'm traveling, I miss it. It literally feels so good to fall into bed at the end of a long work day and be like, oh, this is perfect for me because I took a quiz and I said, this is how I sleep. And they said, here's a perfect mattress for you.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's also, my sleep has improved so much since getting it about, what was it, like 2 years ago now?
A little longer.
I just remember, maybe longer. Yeah, it still feels brand new. But it doesn't get sinking bed area. Like my old mattress, I realized was like drooping. And this one I've had for like 3 years and it's still perfect.
She's got that good snapback.
Yeah, baby. The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
And you might be wondering, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Well, you take that Helix sleep quiz. You can find a perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
They've got models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions.
And they have enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And your personalized mattress is shipped to your door free of charge. Right to your door in a box.
In a box. That? Yeah, that was, and it was so easy to carry right up the stairs. I did it by myself. And Helix knows that there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
So here at Sloppy Seconds, we encourage you, if you are buying a new mattress, if it's been on your list for a long time of like, oh, my lumpy, dumpy old mattress that I got from my other roommate, or it was here in the house when I moved into this room or whatever, get a Helix mattress. It is leveling up your game. Helix is offering up to 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows to our listeners.
Go to helixsleep.com/sloppy and use code HELIXPARTNER20.
This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now.
helixsleep.com/sloppy and use code HELIXPARTNER20.
And we're back. Do you know Wicked?
I mean, I know Wicked, but I've never seen Wicked.
Oh.
Not even one time.
Are you going to see the movie?
I didn't know there was a movie.
Oh.
I mean, I guess they're not doing a good job advertising it.
Well, the movie's not coming out yet.
2025. Okay, well, they're still not doing a good job advertising
it. Ariana Grande went blonde for it. Everyone knows this.
I didn't. I don't know what hair color she has.
It's blonde.
It's blonde now.
Was it not blonde before? I literally don't know. I don't know what color her hair is at any point. I mean, I could recognize her by face, but I don't know what color her hair is.
Okay.
Okay.
That's fine. Listen, there's a lot of...
kind of iconically a brunette with a ponytail.
There's a lot...
Are we fighting?
There's a lot of world out there.
Yes.
And there's a lot of culture, so it is totally, you know, fine.
What color hair does Ellen have?
Blonde, like a dirty blonde. I think it's like gets blonder every year.
It sure does.
Yeah.
I think that's the addition of the grays.
Yeah, like if you asked me about Taylor Swift, I would know a little bit more about Taylor Swift.
And
but
see,
Ariana,
know,
I just don't know.
We would know nothing.
Yeah, I have no idea about Taylor
so
Swift.
So there you go about your reaction.
When did you first fall in love with Taylor Swift?
I don't know, but I was on the Taylor Swift train pretty early because I met her when I was in high school. I won like a little radio contest thing.
Really?
Yeah. Because I was a big fan.
Oh my God.
So I like entered this like, I like brought my family. They had like a live, well, I don't know why I call it live, but it was like at a Verizon store or something. I think Verizon was sponsoring the tour or something. So you had to like show up and like write your name and like phone number and a slip of paper and they just put them in a box and then they pick one and then you win. So I brought my whole family. And then it was like my mom, me, my grandparents, I think. And then
to the concert?
No.
No, to the contest.
To the
get
contest.
More names
oh,
in the thing.
Oh, got it.
Meatball knows.
I know a scam.
Yeah.
They all wrote your name.
No, they all wrote their own name. But like
sure.
No, they did. And then my grandma's name got picked. So then she got the tickets. But they were just like physical tickets. So, you know, you just get 2 tickets. And then but it was like a VIP thing, so you're supposed to like meet her and do a whole backstage thing. But then apparently my grandma wrote her phone number not legibly enough, So they're supposed to like call you like a couple days before. And then I never got this phone call. And I'm like, well, where's my like meet and greet? Like back. So then I'm like, what the hell? And then like the day of, I'm still like, okay, something is clearly amiss. And then I saw they were doing another radio contest like in some other suburb of Chicago. So then I drove all the way there and I was like, okay, so I won the thing, but I never got contacted. And then there was a whole long thing. And I did end up getting to go to like the meet and greet like line and I took a picture with her, but I never got to do the whole experience because I was supposed to like do like a whole tour or whatever. And that didn't happen.
Wow.
And then they were like, oh, we're sorry. So then like they mailed me some like free merch later, but like that wasn't really the same thing. So if you're hearing this,
Taylor
or Verizon or whoever, I would still like to have my experience that I didn't have when I was in high school.
Taylor or Verizon.
Or Verizon or
whoever. Who I don't think sponsors the tour anymore. But I was so bummed.
That's
crazy
because I would always, my parents were like, if you call into the radio, you're never going to win anything.
Well,
and
if you call in, no. That's why I went in person. Because I feel like calling is so difficult.
Yeah, they're always like, line three or whatever. And it doesn't, who cares? That's so insane. So are you excited about her new album? Have you listened to it?
I listened to a couple songs, but I have not listened to the whole album yet because it's very long. And I was busy. It's 31 songs. Because she did a surprise double album. So she had the album, and then like a few hours later, she's like, oh, it's a double album. And I was like, I'm flying to Toronto. I don't have time to listen to 31 songs right now.
One would argue that's all you have.
Yeah.
Well, I had to pack, and then I had to sleep.
You don't want to play them while you're asleep? Get Taylor in your head?
No, then I would have missed my flight.
On the flight.
Wait, this is so wild to me because I truly know absolutely nothing about Taylor Swift.
All I've been seeing is...
I know that she just did an Eras tour and a movie came out. And I know that she has re-recorded a bunch of her old albums because someone else owns them and she wanted the rights to them.
You're pretty caught up.
That's it? Okay.
Pretty content.
I mean, not that's it, but... There's the whole Travis Kelce. Yeah. I don't really remember hair color, by the way. So I think it is blonde. But now I'm questioning if it is or is not blonde.
It's a brown ponytail now. No, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I really can't remember people's hair color. I swear to God.
Yeah.
That's wild. I don't know people's eye color.
That's
tricky.
I could like stare you in the eye and be like, what?
Eyes. You have eyes.
Yeah, you have eyes,
balls.
And we looked at each other.
Yeah.
So you have eyes. There we are.
Yeah.
The what I've been seeing a lot of the discourse around Taylor Swift is like everyone making fun of the structure of a lot of her music. And then there are some somewhat questionable lyrics apparently on some of the songs.
Right. And I have not delved into that album yet.
If I had a time machine, I'd go back to the 1830s, but except for all the racism.
She says that?
Yeah, it's like one of the lyrics in the song.
At least she knows about racism.
Because I think she wants to like have the finger curl, the finger waves and the flapper dresses or whatever. But I guess that's 1930s. Still racism.
She works with Todd McCall, so she can't be racist.
Some would argue still racism now.
Now, some would.
Some would.
Some would.
Most would.
Most would. Especially if you've ever been to Salt Lake City.
Wait, why? So you're from Chicago?
Yes.
But also suburbs. San Francisco? Were you ever in San Francisco?
I moved to San Francisco.
Got it.
Yeah. I lived in the Bay.
Flourish in your comedy career.
I went to school there. Then I stayed to do comedy. And I liked it there better.
How would you compare those two scenes, Chicago and San Francisco?
I liked being in San Francisco more, just because I felt like a lot of the comedy in Chicago, at least when I was there, I felt like if you weren't like a white guy, they didn't really care.
Mm-hmm.
Like I felt like the comics like only really looked up to the like white male comics.
Yeah.
And I was like, not really. Well, I'm not that. So you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that didn't really help me in any way. And I didn't feel like I fit in.
Right.
So it was like more welcoming or fun or, you know, whatever. I just felt like more myself when I was in the Bay because it was just like all different types of people doing comedy. And it wasn't like you got to be a white male comic to be like top dog. You know
Makes
what I mean?
Sense.
Yeah.
Did you find audiences? Because people think of like Portland and San Francisco as sort of like the height of like, oh, you're dodging bullets if you're doing comedy.
Right. I never really felt that way. I do think like at certain shows or certain crowds can be like, quote unquote, more sensitive.
Yeah.
Like when I was in the Bay, or I would notice like some of my friends that I thought were very funny would struggle a little bit at those shows, even though I'm like, oh, I know they do well and I think they're funny. It's just like the audience might not be on board.
Right.
But I never thought it was like as like crazy as people made it seem, where you're like, you can't talk about anything in San Francisco. I never really felt like that was true.
Right.
You know?
Have you found that?
I feel like because I'm in a wig and a mask, I can kind of get away with saying mask.
Well,
I'm trying to get away with saying things.
You literally get on stage at your party and make people yell a slur back at you.
That's true. I do. And it's fun. I like saying faggot, and I go, hit the slay button, and then the whole audience will scream faggot back at me.
Okay.
And then at the last one, there was a lot of straight people in the bar at the front, and they were like, and that made me very happy because I like making people uncomfortable. But also, sometimes I'll tell people to kill themselves. Thoughts? Yeah. If they're like trying to talk to me when I'm on stage, and I'm like, I can't. Wait, kill yourself.
Yeah.
And then I just like walk away.
And that's funny.
Yeah, it's like cute.
Yeah.
It's like, kill yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I have been told
at one of the bars that I can't say it anymore because some of the employees were not happy with that. So I've slowed down.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting because, you know, there's like, I think this happens a lot in comedy. Like people.
I feel like you could get away with saying faggot.
I mean, don't put me on the spot. I've never done it because I didn't feel like I wanted to.
Right.
Like, I've never felt like, oh, this is what I want to say. So I've never really.
That makes total sense.
I've gone out of my way to.
I think in comedy, there's more like people are held to that thing of sort of like, you either have to stand by like freedom of speech and freedom of expression and I can say whatever I want and it's meant to be funny and take it as a joke, or I have to like, what's the term? Kowtow? Cowtail? What do they say?
I think it's kowtow.
To whatever these people are, they're being critical of me, so I have to bend and do like, do you feel like you've ever gotten any feedback like that, or are you just like, oh, people like what I've got to say?
I do feel like my fan base, or like people that, you know, tend to gravitate toward my comedy or whatever, I don't think I can say whatever I want to say. I think that would be a little uncomfortable for some. I think I would get a lot of pushback if I said certain things. But I've never felt like, oh, I'm gonna say exactly what you want me to say.
Right.
You know? It's just like, I know I can't get away with saying some stuff that other comics could say. You know, it just wouldn't work. But I still try, and like, I'm like, oh, this is like a thing that I want to explore or talk about on stage. I just have to figure out a way to say it in which I'm not going to like lose the whole crowd.
Like pink nipples, you know? Being inferior.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That was a good one.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you did that, one at Marcella's show.
Oh, right.
Oh, did I? Yeah.
That was the first time I heard that.
That was the last time I saw you.
Yeah.
Or possibly first time I saw you. I don't think that was the first time.
It was not the first time I had met you, but it was definitely, because I had seen you do comedy before.
Did you do like Danielle Perez's show or something?
I did that show.
I think I saw you at that.
And she came and did our show, I think like the same week or something.
Oh, yeah.
Ages ago. That was forever ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, that joke is so good. And then also you have a joke that's like fully viral right now. The big day energy joke.
Yeah, that went a little viral.
How does that make you feel?
I mean, I'm glad that people like the joke, because I liked when I wrote the joke and stuff. The one downside is because so many people have seen it, like now when I do it on tour, it doesn't work as well as it used to because people already know like that part of the joke.
Yeah.
So like that first part of the joke, I can tell when it's like pretty much all the audience like knows my comedy, when I'm like, oh, that joke really didn't work, that first part. Like, the second part usually does work because that part is, like, not part of the clip that went viral.
Right.
So the rest of the joke still, like, really hits. But that first part, it used to, like, crush. And now it's just like, okay, let's just speed through this so I can get through the rest of the joke.
Well, you've done the smart thing, which is like you've used that. I mean, the joke is that you have big they energy.
Yeah.
And you've used that as a branding tactic now.
Right.
Which is like really smart because it's such a viral clip.
Totally.
How do you feel about like, people talk a lot about like, oh, you know, I don't want to do this in front of people who have cameras out because I don't want to burn my material. I'm like waiting until I shoot a special. Like, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, so that's kind of the struggle right now is like, I know that if I put out all my jokes online, that if, you know, I have diehard fans that come to the show, the jokes won't work as well as I've told.
Right.
Seen from that one joke that went viral, but it's also like I can't put none of my stuff online. But luckily I've been doing comedy long enough now where I'm like, oh, I have some like material from my album I can put out, or like old stuff, or I can like go through whatever. So I'm not really putting out any of my newest material or stuff from my newest album, except for like that joke is gonna be on that hour because it has to be. It's just that part's already out.
It's like when you go to the trailer and or you go to the movie, you've seen the thing in the trailer.
And you're like, well, okay, it'll be fine.
Yeah, I get it.
Like, I just have to deal with it.
Yeah.
But like, hopefully when like, you know, we shoot it, like I just want to shoot the special. I don't know where we're going to do it. I don't know how. We'll see what happens. But hopefully I'll have enough people at the show that also haven't seen the joke that will get the good enough reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm like, okay, as long as that part just doesn't bomb, I'll be happy.
Right.
I'm like, I know you guys know this joke. There's nothing I can do about it. I want to put in the hour. I didn't plan for it to go mega viral like that.
Yeah.
It just kind of happened.
It was just, I think that's so interesting because it's so different than doing comedy 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
So different than like people used to be able to do jokes for decades.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you weren't the 1% of super famous comedians who were on television who had specials, but you were, like, a working comic. Like,
oh, totally.
You could do a joke for 2 decades.
I mean, you could still do that if you don't put any of that material out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, some people don't. Some people only release their crowd work.
Yeah, so that's what happened. That's why crowd work clips got so popular, is because comics didn't want to burn their material, so they're like, okay, I'll put out crowd work because that's not any of my material, and people like
Nicole
watching
just
that.
Put out a crowd work special.
Exactly.
I know.
Yeah.
Which I thought was insane behavior. Yeah.
But also, like, go off, queen. Yeah. Like, you had to do zero preparation.
Yeah. You put out a whole special.
I mean, Bob did it, too.
Oh, yeah, I remember Bob's.
Did you see what Joel Kim Booster did recently?
Yes.
Where he faked a heckler. Did you see this?
Is that fake? Because I thought that was real.
No, he faked it.
Are you sure it's fake?
Well, the video footage came out.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Okay, I need someone in the front row to stand up and pretend like they're yelling at me, and this will be a fun inside joke for all of us in the room for the next 12 hours. It's like so funny. And what is funny about it, and he pointed out in the tweets, is that like the guy chose to put a thumbs down up for, which like imagine heckling someone and actively being like, boo!
I thought it was real, and I was like, this is crazy that someone just got up
in the second row.
I was like, what is going on?
Well, there was all that talk that post-pandemic comedy audiences just started talking
more. Sometimes they are bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Bad boys.
Bad boys. Bad. What city has been your worst so far? Talk
about. None of them really, because I think people that come to see me, I try and really tell my fans not to do that. So I'll like put out clips where it's like, if it's crowd work, it's not like, it's mostly me. I like kind of riff a joke and I'm like posting that, not really like me yelling at an audience member, because I don't want to encourage that. So I'll like try to put out crowd work that's like more I said something funny than they were seeking attention.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I'm very deliberate in my content.
Think about that. The comedians that are releasing, like being heckled and then fighting back.
Yeah, that's
probably just get it more now because people are like, I want that experience with you now.
Exactly. But I don't want that. So I like am like really deliberate in what I'm putting out now, because I'm like, oh, I don't want to burn material.
Yeah.
But I think the crowd work thing is fun. I just don't want it to seem like I want you to like start having a whole conversation with me. I want to be the funny
people
one.
People do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't want that.
Don't.
Hey.
Don't do that.
Do that.
Don't talk to Irene on stage. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. I know we talked about it briefly, touched on it. Goals.
Okay.
What are your goals?
You have goals now?
Are you thinking about a sitcom in the future? Are you writing projects for yourself? Are you, do you see the trajectory of other people's careers now that you're on this like touring and putting out specials and like whatever that you're like, this is where I want to be?
I'm still, I'm still not sure exactly what I want like 10 years from now, 20 years from now, but I do want to put out this special.
Yeah.
Because I put out an album, but it wasn't really my first special, and that I never envisioned it as being my first special. So I want this hour to be my first actual special,
right?
And get it out there for people to watch it. Yeah, I would love to pitch a sitcom. So if anyone is wanting me to be the star of your network or streamer.
Verizon.
Verizon. Miss Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift. HBO.
Yeah.
Bob Netflix.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, that sort of, it is so interesting that there is a model of that out in the world, but also like so many people do completely different things to get there.
There's so many things to do because like some people want to write more, some people want to act more, some people want to do voiceover stuff.
Yeah.
Some people just want to do stand up and tour. There's just so many things to do.
Do you like acting?
I do like acting and I want to act more. So again, put me in stuff.
Have you started auditioning for anything?
I do audition for stuff sometimes, but it's also hard because I feel like I have like a specific look.
What is it?
What's that?
What do you mean?
So I feel like I don't go out for as many parts unless they're like looking
unless
for this.
Tick's,
you know what I mean?
Not available.
Yeah.
Whoa.
But so you know what I mean? Like no, like usually if you're like writing a movie, you're not like oh like Irene, like you know you're just like.
I mean, but you could be.
Yeah,
I know I could be, but I feel like, but also people don't know who I am. Like so that's why I feel like I'm like oh I have to just keep doing stand up, like keep getting myself out there until someone's like oh I have you in mind for my project.
Right.
I feel like that's gonna be like the easiest route for me to get cast and stuff versus me like blindly auditioning.
Well, we talk about this all the time. Auditions are like so like taxing and challenging. When I was in college,
I always had to get into makeup for the audition.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know.
Which is just like, oh, wait. You want me to spend 3 hours to get.
And you got
to
self tape it?
Yes. And I'm like, I'm calling my friend over to read the other part because I live alone.
Oh,
it's just
me
like
too.
The worst interaction. Yeah. And then your friend's like, are you sure that's the take you want to do? And you're like, baby, I'm me. Who are you?
Yeah. When did you become a casting director? The auditioning thing is like when I was in college, they taught classes on it. Like there's a whole science to that. And it's very different because like you can't teach what you're doing. Like you're being yourself.
Yeah.
Full of riz, as the kids say.
It means charisma.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah, I know.
I just learned that like 2 days ago on a podcast.
I don't know where I learned it, but I also did learn it recently. I'm like, oh, I am old now.
You don't know where you knew that marathon fact from either. I don't know if you're making this up or not.
I think I heard it before.
I think I heard it in a book I read.
In a possible TikTok I watched while I was on the
job. Oh, God.
Yeah, what was another? I heard another crazy piece of slang.
It also, isn't that person that ran and died named Nike, or am I crazy? I think that's where
his name was Reebok.
No, I think it was Nike, and then they died, and that's a marathon. But I know Nike's named after, like, a Greek thingy, so I think it's that runner guy.
Oh, my gosh.
But I could be wrong. I don't want to put out misinformation.
No, that's the whole podcast is misinformation. Irene.
No. Oh. She's wrong. The name marathon comes from the legend of Pheidippides. Pheidippides. Pheidippides,
okay.
A Greek messenger. The legend states that he was sent from the battlefield of Marathon to Athens to announce that the Parisians had been defeated in the Battle of Marathon, which took place in August or September of 490 BC.
Oh, okay, so what about Nike, though?
Yeah, I know where Nike got that swoosh name from.
Yeah, because I feel like that's also Greek. Or it's like from it's Greek
gotta
history.
Be. It sounds Greek. Marathon does not sound
Greek to me. Yours was pretty accurate, though.
Yeah. Close.
Yeah. Did he die?
That's what I didn't see. Nike is named after Nike, the Greek goddess of victory.
Okay, so okay. I mixed some stuff together.
Yeah, that's
I knew it was like a Greek thing.
I would have never guessed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, then died on the spot.
Okay, so you got it. You just got the cities in the wrong order.
From Marathon to Athens to announce the defeat in the war.
And then died.
And then she died.
She died.
Yeah.
He was really given the British are coming, the British are coming.
Right. Mm, and then he was given the heart attack is here.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he died.
Where do you see comedy in L.A.? Do you ever go see it?
Am I going to see it a lot?
Do you? Mm-hmm. You're only going to perform.
I'm mostly going to perform, and then sometimes I'll watch my friends if they're on the show. Or, you know, I'll watch other comics on the show with me.
You're not feeling by the ha-ha hut?
You know about the ha-ha
hut? Oh, I know. I know where the ha-ha is.
I know where it is, too. I've never been. Is it fun? I drive by it, and I go, what a fun name. The crowds are fun,
but I feel like every time I've been booked on a show there, they'll be like, this is what time the show starts, and it starts like fully an hour later or something.
That is not me behavior.
And I'm like, I just can't, like, hang out here for 4 hours, you know what I mean? Because I'm like, I don't know what time I'm going up. Like, just tell me approximately when I'm going up, and I'll be there. Well, but I can't be here the whole time to go up for my 10 minutes.
A lot of comedians here also do like two or three shows in a night. So exactly. They know when they're done that they can just drive to the next venue.
That is like,
if they're holding you hostage.
I don't. Anytime a show does that to me, I'm like, I'm not doing the show again.
That is such a unique experience. And I feel like it might happen with drag queens. Maybe in New York more with drag queens. Multiple gigs in a night.
Yes.
Definitely happens with comedians everywhere, and then maybe like sex workers. But like, where else are you in a job where you're like, oh, I can book three or four sets in a night?
Yeah.
And you sort of like,
yes, because we're all doing the same thing.
Yeah. But you can like,
I know, I was like,
you can like time them out and be like, okay, like I can park. I'll pop in the back door at Dynasty. I'll do my 15 minutes. And then I'll be like, oh, gotta go. I gotta show in the
alley. Every time I get go into the back alley at Dynasty, I get lost. I walk all the way down to the fucking end of it, and I'm like, why is there a restaurant here? And then I'm like knocking on doors, like just lost.
It's just the first door on the left.
Didn't know. They didn't tell me. They said, when you get back there. Sorry, it's not your fault. I'm so sorry.
You could also go through the front door, but I know you don't want to run into people.
I'm usually wigless at that point.
So you could run into people.
I could run into people, but I don't have any hair on or anything. I don't want to see them. I don't need them seeing me without this on.
Oh. I just thought that meant they wouldn't recognize you. Like, you're all going incognito. Like, yeah, you know, when the celebrities have
a full face of makeup.
Oh, okay. Well, you didn't explain that. I thought you were just like.
The key here is that Irene can't tell about hair color.
Irene's like, I don't
be like,
care
no
about
wig?
Hair.
Then you're invisible.
Then you're invisible to the world.
You're incognito.
Oh my God.
No, I thought you meant like, you're just like.
No, it's okay.
Fresh-faced walking in, you know?
No, the wig, actually, when you put the wig on, the makeup appears.
That's what I thought. To be honest, I thought it was all at one time.
I wish.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be amazing
if it was a mask?
I always think of that, the gun that Homer Simpson made for Marge that was, like, stocked with makeup.
No, I didn't see this, but that's
funny. And he, like, shoots it at her, and it's just, like, a smear of blue eyeshadow.
Hilarious.
It looks good.
It's gorge.
It looks good. Let's take another break.
We're back!
Ooh. Irene, this is the final segment of the show.
Oh, okay.
We call this segment...
Fuck talk!
This is our favorite segment of the show.
I don't know what that means.
Well, it's when we talk about fucking.
Okay.
We talk about fuck.
We offer up an opportunity for our guests or ourselves to share a wild story from their past, present, or future. Based on a lot of your comedy out there, I felt like you would feel down for this, maybe.
Sure. I mean, I'm currently in my nun phase, but...
Oh, okay.
Me too.
Yeah. But we can proceed.
But, okay, so we can proceed. So if there's anything that you wanted to share, or I have some voicemails that we can get us started.
Okay.
You want to hear our callers talk about weird stuff.
I don't really think I have anything particular to share. I'm very boring. Okay. And I'm currently not fucking because I am, as I said, in my nun era.
Now, what caused the nun era?
I went through a breakup, and every time I go through a breakup, I go full, no one speak to me.
Mm.
No one talk to me. Okay. No one get near me.
Well, we have adverse reactions to our breakups.
Yeah, yeah.
Mine, yeah. I went insane for 4 months and would have sex with anybody that would look at me.
Yeah, no, I'm very much like, no one look me in the eyes.
Well, now I'm no one look at me.
Oh, okay.
I am not a sexual object. I am a human being. Feelings.
And meanwhile,
you don't look at me.
I just stay the course.
You just suck cock and balls.
Perpetually single, a dick pound.
Yeah, he's like a sex addict, undiagnosed. Mm-hmm.
But also, like, you know, I go like long periods of time without having sex because I'm like too busy.
But if you weren't busy, you would be sucking cock and ball.
If my livelihood was taken care of and I didn't have to work, yeah, I would have a brothel running out of my home.
Sometimes he kind of does.
Sometimes I do. I actually had a man message me today and he was like, I got a whole bunch of bottoms who are hungry to get fucked. So when you want these holes to come over, you let me know. And I was like, great, because I have a place you can host them at my house.
He has people come over to his house.
I'm like, you guys. Bottom,
and then he brings in like 5 guys to top him in his home.
Wow. But you're doing this all for free?
And the bottom is grateful.
Well, he also runs a sex party.
I also do.
Oh,
that.
I was like, you're
separately,
making...
but not in his house. And it's like at a warehouse, okay. And they really decorate.
You're making money though.
At the party.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But not in his home.
No.
That's what I enjoy. It's not like I'm sitting there.
The tax man would come for him for running a business.
It's not like I'm sitting there reading a book while these people are. I'm like, I'm participating.
I just mean, fair enough.
I live alone, and some of these people are like, I have roommates. I can't host a gangbang in my house. And I'm like, well, come use my
fuck bench. So you're just like a very good host.
Yeah.
Well, and he also has a fuck bench.
So do you want to hear the voicemail?
That's not a joke. He has a bench made for fucking. We'll hear the voicemail. Ever heard of a fuck bench, Irene?
I mean, I've heard of one. I've not seen one in the wild.
I have one.
Hi, fucks.
Turn it up.
So I just have a little fuck talk story to share. I was met up with this guy, and let's just say he's of a certain age where he's, you know, reproductively intact. And I'm a little younger, so I'm definitely fertile as well. Well, I really like having sex with him because he's a more experienced. He has like a bunch of bondage shit that I like to use that I don't have, I can't afford. And he likes to be dommed and he likes to be told he's pathetic and he eats the booty like groceries. Anyway, so I was there and I was on top of him and I was about to like, I'm ready to start fucking. And I'm like, so do you have a condom? And he's like, no, I usually pull out. I'm like, I laugh. I giggle a little bit, can't help but chortle. I'm like, you're fucking joking, right? That has to be a joke. And he's like, no, I've been doing it for 8 years now and feel like if it would have been a problem, I would have had a kid by now. Huh? Huh? So I was like, why? He's like, oh, I don't wear a condom because I can't be hard in a condom. So is he fucking lying? Tell me, like, okay, I know penis is subjective, whatnot, feelings and whatnot, but he's fucking lying. I asked my gay friend, my gay man friend, I said, he's lying, right? He's fucking lying. So what do you guys think? Do you think he's fucking lying or do you think he's telling the truth? And, a similar but different question would be,
what?
Have you ever fucked somebody who looks a little bit too much like your brother? And sometimes when you're like really up close to him and you look him in the eyes, you can see your brother. Would you ever fuck that person again? Goodbye.
Yeah, that's the end. You need to stop.
She did the new rip.
She sounded like she was about to drop a third thing and was like, no,
right. I was
leave
like,
it at brother.
No. Okay. He's like, oh, unrelated thing. I was like, I think it might be the same person.
It might be the most related. Well,
thoughts?
Okay.
Which one should we tackle first?
During the first one, she said something, but I didn't hear the beginning of it. But you guys reacted, so I didn't know what she said.
She said that he is...
She said something that, like, sort of didn't need to be qualified. She was like, he's a man of a certain age where he's still virile.
Sexually intact.
Sexually intact, and I am very fertile. And it was like, okay, like, so... The majority, what you're saying is like, we could get pregnant.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I'm like,
okay.
She's saying his sperm works.
I feel like the qualifier would be like, he can, or he's had a vasectomy, or like,
I feel like we didn't need
anymore.
Any of that information.
Exactly.
Okay. Because no. I was like, I'm trying to follow along, and I'm like, I feel like this is too much.
She's at risk of being pregnant.
Okay.
She just wanted to get a lot of words out.
Yeah. Well, she's clearly, like, finishing her workout.
I was just going to say, I was like, I feel like she's, like, running while she's sending this, like, voice memo.
And also, like, had a script.
Yeah. Because she said chortle.
Chortle.
And I'm like, no one's ever said chortle just in conversation.
Never.
Not a single time.
It's a book word.
Yes.
She chortled.
Pull out method is crazy.
It does not work.
I don't think that works. I don't know anything about this, so I don't think I can speak on it, but I've heard that that's not a thing.
Yeah. It's not a thing. You can get pregnant from, like, pre-cum, I believe. Look it up. Yeah. Misinformation direct. Pull out method doesn't work, though.
But I mean, I feel like I've definitely heard it doesn't work.
Yeah, like, what if he, like, accidentally came just a little bit, right before he pulled out?
I think the biggest thing here that she seems to be curious about is like,
if I
wear a condom, does the dick not get hard? There are some people who have trouble with that. You can buy larger condoms. You can figure it out. Like, you don't.
There's new condom technology, too. Like, she's saying he's of a certain age, so maybe he was, like, back before there was, like, bare skin condoms and just, like, the thicker
Back in my day, 8 years ago before I started doing the pullout method.
Oh, he's only 8 years older than her?
No, he said he's been doing it for eight years.
Oh, never mind then. Yeah, that guy's lying to you.
Yeah.
He's lying. He just wants to fuck raw.
Yeah.
It is possible to get pregnant from pre-ejaculate. Ding, ding, ding.
Where's the faggot button?
Let's talk about the brother of it all.
I felt like that didn't need to have been added.
We don't need that.
You already got too far. Yeah. If you're looking him deep in the eyes while fucking him and going, you really look a lot like my brother. It's like any sibling resemblance, any familial resemblance, even remotely, would be a turnoff from jump.
Oh, absolutely. Well, not for her.
Yeah.
I think, why do I feel so close?
Think she's saying, is it okay if I do this again?
Yes.
Saying, yes, it's okay to do that again?
No, she's been doing it, and she really wants more.
Honestly, girl, you sound like you're pretty wild, so do whatever you want. I 100% would not hook up with anyone that looked remotely like my brother.
I don't have any brothers or sisters, so
I'm in the clear.
Cousin. Yeah. I don't really know what my cousin looks like.
You want to unpack that?
Well, they live far away.
Oh, okay.
Like, I just saw one of them recently, and I was like, oh, and I didn't recognize her. You know what I mean?
What color was her
hair? I think she dyed it, actually.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. I guess there must be something called hair color blindness.
I think I have it.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, to be fair, I haven't seen, like, my cousins in, like, 10 years.
Yeah. I haven't seen mine either. Yeah. I don't think I would recognize them.
Yeah. So that was just a separate thing. Yeah. But also, I couldn't tell you what color her hair is. I just saw her.
Hi, I'm a 35-year-old queerish lady and a huge fan of you, Meatball and Big Dipper. Here's my latest. So I was in an open relationship with a self-identified, heteroflexible, polyamorous, divorced, 50-year-old white man who, fun fact, used to be a local TV weatherman.
Oh.
So we have been sleeping together for over 3 years.
Okay.
For the first 2 years, we met weekly, got high, and fucked. And then in the last year, we finally told each other we had feelings. So it's been 3 years in total. Anyway, a month ago, he slept with me. A month ago, my former primary partner slept with his supposedly platonic ex-girlfriend. Within 48 hours of sleeping with her, he broke up with me to pursue a monogamous relationship with her. It's been 3 weeks. I finally blocked his contact. I'm angry and hurting, and I'm tired of being disposed of. Any thoughts? Goodbye.
Now,
first of all, I'm confused.
Is the weatherman
the person?
The person?
Yeah, I need a map.
So basically, what she's saying is they've been together for 3 years and it was open.
Yes.
Then he slept with his ex that was apparently just a friend. And now he's broken up with her and they're pursuing a monogamous, closed relationship. How do you process?
Life's a bitch.
Never Karma's trust a weatherman.
Karma's a bitch.
Don't trust a weatherman.
Weathermen are freaks. I know that to be true. They're all in the toes.
Is that true?
No, I don't know. I'm just no, I mean, how do you process that? Therapy.
Yeah.
And moving forward.
It is.
And ignore the good date that you blocked the phone number.
Bye.
It's over. Because to treat you like trash like that, you deserve better.
I think the tricky part here is that you were like, we were in an open thing, which means you could also be pursuing someone else, but now you ended the open thing to be in a monogamous thing with this other person, which really makes you as the caller feel like I really wasn't enough. Like I really was. But I think you just have to remember that different people, like, they pair up differently. Like, chemistry just pairs up differently. I know people who, I mean, we've had people on this show who were once a poly thing, and then that turned into a monogamous thing over here. And even though it was hard, it turned into a better thing overall for everyone.
Yeah, relationships are just different for every coupling and pairing. So, unfortunately, it seems like you got left in the dust. But you will rise. I don't know. Or maybe you'll go insane. Go fuck a bunch of people. Go fuck a bunch of people.
Or
fuck no one.
Or go none.
Or none.
Or none it.
Or go none.
Join a convent.
Yeah. Wow.
That's wild, though, if you think about it. Because, like, why couldn't he just remain poly? It must be the new girlfriend that's like, I don't want you having sex with her. She's a threat.
Oh, it could be three years.
Like, it's clear that, because if he was mentally able to do it for forever.
What would one of those self-improvement betterment Instagram accounts say about this?
I really don't know. Okay. Yeah, they're usually more about pursuing your goals and less about your personal life.
Maybe your goal is...
Usually, it's more like, bitch, get your life together.
Yeah, so maybe it's a bitch.
Girl, put down the drink and get to work.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't...
Hey, Diva, you're the number one boss in your life. And remember that.
And if you want to
You know what it would be? It would be like, if they don't put you as their priority, then they don't deserve you.
There you go.
There it is.
Yeah. And there you have it.
You're your priority. It seems like we're making fun of her, but I'm just like...
No, we're being serious.
Like,
honestly, like, that's a super shitty situation to be in. Like,
and there's literally no way to know unless you end up talking to them, but it's like, don't.
Don't.
Like, what the dynamic of that was or how that came to be. It's like, if they don't want you around... I mean, that sounds really harsh, but it's like, if they're not working hard to include you into their life and to be like, then it's not worth it. They don't see you as a priority, so leave them behind.
Yeah.
You can't force it.
You can't force it.
And we support you.
You're 35. You're so young. There's so many dicks out and vaginas out there that you could still suck and fuck.
So suck and fuck. That's the advice?
I hit the slay button on that one, faggot.
We made it to the end of the show. Irene, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Where can everyone find you?
You can follow me on social media at Irene_2. That's
influencer.
T-U. Yes, please help me so I can become the social media influencer star that Big Dipper says I am.
Well, she is.
I believe in you. And hopefully we'll see you at the 2028 Olympics.
Yes, see me at the Olympics. I will definitely be at all the events. And I would love if you saw me on tour. I'm doing a lot of live shows. You can go to my website, Irene2.com, and I will see you there. Don't heckle me.
Don't even talk to her after the show.
No.
Eye contact.
Come to the meet and greet. Take a photo, but don't say shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and make sure to get those tickets through Verizon. guarantee you a good meet and greet.
Meatball, why don't you take us out?
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Sloppy Seconds. You can send us an email at sloppysecondspod@gmail.com or call in with your own fuck talk story or just whatever happened today at 213-536-9180. And don't forget to like and subscribe so you don't ever miss an episode, which come out every Tuesday and Friday.
And if you want to sign up for Mom Plus Gold, go ahead and smash that Mom Podcast.plus button and you can get free... you can get our monthly episodes of Sloppier Seconds. You get our video episodes.
Shivers.
Ad-free.
What
and
are you doing?
I'm laughing at your reaction of when I said smash that button. And then you can get all of our premium content over there on Mom Plus Gold. I've lost my mind. Goodbye.
It's been a long day for you.
Goodbye.
Bye. To get access to our full uncensored video episodes ad-free and one day early, sign up for Mom Plus Gold at mompodcasts.plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball.
Engineered by Margot Padilla.
Editing and sound design by William Pitts.
Executive produced by Willem, Alaska Thunderfuck, Big Dipper, and Joe Cilio.
Our artwork was drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.